Hey, welcome to You Had Me at Black. I'm Martina Abrahams. Today is a little bittersweet because we've reached the end of season four. That's right, today is our season four finale. I cannot believe we've made it through four seasons together. Stick around after the story for a sneak peek on what you can expect in season five and how you might be able to get involved. But before that, we have story time, so let's get into it. Our finale story comes from Lloyd, who reignited his blackness after a tense camping encounter with his girlfriend. Here's what happened.
I want you to breathe all this in.
You're listening to You Had Me at Black. Black.
Light in the heart of the city.
Black.
Man, listen, man.
Black.
This is You Had Me at Black, and we live, baby.
I wanted to surprise the fiance, so we decided to take a trek up to Mount Tamalpais. Head there, went over the Golden Gate Bridge. It's dark. Found the first parking lot / campsite. Walked up to the campsite. Four or five campsites from us were a whole bunch of people. They were belligerent, they were drunk. As you can see a bunch of group of white folks just having fun, but they were really obnoxious, so I was really like, my shield was up, you know, my guard was up. There was a car two parking spots from us, and I remember looking over and this person comes out, you know, medium height, and then I noticed it was like, a white lady, so no big deal, whatever. But I noticed she was kind of like looking at me, because I remember initially like came and I was looking at me, and it was kind of like look of like, hey, who's that guy? But it's not like any typical, hey, who's that guy? It's more like, all right, I see someone. And I'm kind of used to this look. You know, if you go any like remote places, or if you're like the only minority in a certain place, you always kind of get a certain look where they're like checking out like, who the hell is this guy and what is his deal? Especially if it's dark and you're black, and then you're in a nice truck, and you know, it's a 2013 4Runner lifted. And so I see her, she sees me. Her reaction seems like she probably feels threatened. So I decided that maybe I had to prove myself, right, to make her feel comfortable. So she was looking, I was looking, and somehow I just decided, I was like, hey, how are you? Do you know how this whole thing works? You know, meaning, is it first come, first serve for the campsite, or do you just find a park ranger? She went up and spoke to me and was like, well, it's first come, first serve, you know, you're good, whatever. All you gotta do is just find a campsite, you know, secure your stuff, and then you're good. And then she started talking to me about my dogs, and you gotta understand, like, I'm a black guy, I'm talking to this random girl, and then I feel like she feels threatened because she gave me that specific look. There's a certain look she, you know, where it feels like they don't freaking trust you, you know what I'm saying? So it's like that look, it's like, why are you here? So I decided to like get my guard down and then kind of let her feel, you know, easy, or at ease, I should say. I felt like we were good, you know, we have that seal, you know, we're trusted, you know, she trusts me. That was taken care of, and so I was comfortable enough to, you know, unload my stuff and put it up to the campsite. So I think it's maybe my second round coming down, and then I see a bunch of park rangers pulling up at the parking lot, and they just immediately just went up to that campsite that was getting rowdy. So I went back to my truck, and then, knowing me, I'm very observant, so I was kind of listening to what's going on. So I hear, you know, scuffling, you know, the park rangers are trying to get these guys, you know, out of here, you know, so they're escorting them back, and then these guys are being rowdy, like, the whole time they were being very loud, and they were just, like, resisting the cops, and, you know, saying, F this, F that, blah, blah, blah. I was just like, dude, if that was me, literally, like, they would have probably beat my ass. At the end of my head, I was like, damn, fucking white privilege, man. That's crazy, man. So I was trying to explain that to my girlfriend, but she just didn't get it. Well, she got it, but she was just like, you know what, Lloyd, you don't need to worry about that. So I'm listening, and meanwhile, I'm just trying to unload my stuff. And then I remember when I was trying to shut my truck, it wasn't shut. And I was like, damn, what the hell? Because I'm just literally trying to get out this whole commotion because I don't want to get involved. I just want to head back to my campsite, just chill, you know, with the old lady, you know, set up, blah, 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 relax, you know. And then my truck window closed. My girlfriend's like, hey, you know, we need to go. And then I hear this commotion going on with these guys. And I'm like, man, these guys are kind of getting away with things. And they're getting loud. And they're disturbing the peace. And then, you know, these guys are cursing at the Rangers and everything. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like, this is crazy. All this stuff is going on. I'm like, dude, like, I remember them seeing me, but I remember there was something that stand out what they said. Because the guy kept spilling, like, hey, you know, I'm a paramedic. I make more than you. Who the frick are you, cop? You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I serve my country, blah, 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 da, 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 da. And then I remember this guy said a hell of a lot. He was just like, he's like, bro, he's like, man, we ain't no thugs. He's like, why you treating us like that, man? You know, we ain't no effing coon. And I was like, what the fuck? As soon as he said effing coon, I fucking was like, whoa. It's like a whole lot of like emotions come up. And I was like, because first, my thing wouldn't latch. My girlfriend was kind of annoying me because she says, hey, just ignore it. And then just trying to get ready and this whole commotion. And then this dude says this, like, hey, I ain't no effing coon. Knowing the guy saw me, knowing there's a black guy around, it's like, that's like something you just do not say, right? And so I was like, literally pissed. I was like trying to tell my girlfriend, I'm like, dude, do you know what the fuck he just said? And she's like, what's the problem? And I was like, dude, she said a fucking coon. She obviously didn't understand coon. And I just got literally mad. I was just like, all right. And I was like, literally thinking, like, what should I do? But I was just like, fuck this. This guy knows I'm here. They obviously fucking saw me. The cops saw me. This is BS, all right? You know, obviously, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to stand down, whatever, right? And so I literally just kind of walked up there. I was like, bro, like, even all the commotion doing, I was just like, yo, like, why the fuck you just say coon or something like that? I remember them, like, all of a sudden, all eyes were on me, like, who the fuck is this dude? And then all of a sudden, as soon as I said that, cops come. They're trying to hold me back. But I wasn't really trying to do nothing. I just needed a fucking apology, man. And then the funny thing was, it's like, the guy was like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, who the fuck are you? And then I remember the girl who I initially, you know, let my guard down and I thought we had like some sort of trust or some sort of relationship. She was just like, dude, like, get the fuck out of here. Like, who the fuck are you? You know what I'm saying? Like, mind your own business. You're not a part of this. This is all about you. Which I understand from her perspective, but at the end of the day, she didn't understand why I was frustrated, right? Like, you don't think it's offensive? I literally thought it was offensive because I'm right there. I'm in the presence, you know what I'm saying? I feel like everybody's turning back on me, like, saying, you need to get the fuck back. Like, you're not a part of this. But technically, I am because I am, because you said something offensive. So it's like, you don't know how much that word hurts. And nobody understands. That's the thing. Nobody freaking understood. So while they're trying to hold me back, which I'm not, that's the funny thing. I'm not even doing anything. I'm just like saying, like, hey, yo, like I just need some sort of apology. Like, I need something like, hey, I'm here. You shouldn't say that, you know? So she was trying to like get in my face, whatever. My girlfriend's on the side. She's not doing anything. She's just kind of pissed at me. And I'm just like saying, like, oh, here you go. Angry, you know, it's a typical angry black man. So, you know, I feel like a fool, but I feel like I have the right to stand up for what, you know, my rights or however I feel. Then the funny thing is that there was a biracial woman there who was a part of their friends. And so she was there too. And she was kind of trying to come to my comfort and was like, hey, like I hear you, like, he's just fucking drunk. I hate when they fucking say that too. He's just fucking drunk. Like, that's supposed to be a fucking excuse. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't make that, actually, he's telling the truth. That makes him even more racist. You know what I'm saying? And I was kind of even mad at her because I'm like, you're going to take these motherfuckers' side. I understand you're trying to say, like, hey, she was explaining. She's like, I understand. I'm like, I'm half black. These guys do this all the time. They're just fucking drunk. You know, like, I understand she's trying to come to my defense, but in a way, I'm saying you should fucking tell that motherfucker not to say that. You should confront those people. You shouldn't be even hanging out with them. You know what I'm saying? I created this relationship with this person who I initially knew she didn't trust me. I made her feel at ease, you know what I'm saying? Although I know I don't feel like I need to prove myself, but I did that to go out my way just to prove to herself that, you know what? Hey, I'm just a regular black dude that's just trying to camp, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just trying to know where, I'm just trying to know where to go to find a site and to camp. And here you go. I thought we established this sort of relationship, and here you go. It was kind of like you're backstabbing me, you know? And this is why I don't trust majority or maybe some white folks. And this is why I have this constant, I think black folks in general, where it's like that initial, like trust, like, I don't know, like, I might trust you, but are you one of those white folks? Are you not? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, if we're chilling, you know what I'm saying? And then like something happens, will you have my back? She kind of break that. And then this is why I was just like, damn, man, why did I have to do that? You know, it's like, you think down, you're like, man, why did I let down my I guess my wall or whatever you want to say, and let this person in, and there you go, they backstabbed me. So the reason why I'm telling this story was originally I had my guard up, right? I constantly feel as an individual and also as a young black man, I constantly have to prove myself. It's just, I have to put on this certain attitude where I'm not the stereotype, right? I have to prove myself and be better than my counterparts. I know that's an attitude in general, but as a young black man, you have to even go over and beyond because there's people out there that doubt you. And this is an everyday thing I go through. You know, what I went through, especially trusting that person, especially that lady, I was just trying to show her that, like, hey, you know what? At the end of the day, I'm a good person. You know, I'm just literally just trying to come here and camp with my, you know, my beloved girlfriend and have fun. You know, I don't want no trouble. You know, that's kind of sad to say, but you know, I'm just trying to camp. You know, I'm just trying to do what you do. You know, where everybody wants to do. I'm just trying to live. At the end of the day, at that moment, I felt alone, and I felt needed some sort of empathy or somebody to empathize with me, and I didn't have that. You know, I feel like everybody, especially like you being the only black person in situations like that, you don't have that comfort where somebody can come over and be like, you know what, bro, I know what you're going through and I understand and I hear you, but I felt like I was just coming off as like a stereotypical angry black man, right? So yeah, I think this is why majority of black folks don't trust some white folks in general, man, because instances like this, you know, it's weird because I came from, meaning I was born in Jamaica, coming to America, and then moving to California, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what is this whole being black thing? You know, I'm Jamaican, you know, I'm Jamaican American. You know, I'm just Jamaican in general, you know, I'm a Yadi, you know what I'm saying? I got goals, I got to do this and this, you know, the whole immigrant mindset, you know? America is the land of opportunities, right? And then being in that category of like being black, I just didn't understand. I was like, what are you guys talking about, dude? Like, you can succeed, you can do this, you can do that. Just put your mind to it, right? I just didn't understand it's being a black American. A lot of my black friends being with them, they're like, dude, that's how it is. You just got to accept it. And so that was kind of like the whole mentality, be like, you know what? If that happens to you, just kind of just accept it and just move on. Don't say nothing and just move on. Just accept. I'm like, what do you mean accept it, bro? Like, you got to stand up. You know what I'm saying? Because that's where I came from. That's my background. You know what I'm saying? Jamaicans, we're very confident people. You know what I'm saying? Like, because we had that foundation. At the end of the day, you know, I think, especially me as a young black man, I feel like we're all individuals. I think we should just live it up, you know, and just do you. You got one life to live.
This episode was produced by Jared Sport. Music and scoring by Dion Henderson. This episode was mixed and mastered by Miles Dotson. Thanks for listening to You Had Me at Black. If you want to hear more stories like this one, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Hey, it's Martina again. First off, thank you for tuning in to another season of You Had Me at Black. When I started this podcast, I was tired of how I saw blackness portrayed in the media. I wanted a place where we could control our narratives and share our true experiences, whether they're good or bad, to heal ourselves and uplift each other. And in 2018, we're going to be doing more of that. And we're really pushing to capture the narratives that just aren't getting the attention they deserve. Stories about immigration or foster care, parenting, stripping, trafficking, pregnancy, homelessness. That's not an exhaustive list at all, but just a few examples of topics and narratives that often go untalked about. And so I really need your help in two ways. One, if you have a story or you know somebody else with a story, go to youhadmeatblack.com/tellastory to submit it to be considered for season 5. And two, if you want to be a part of building this movement, we are in need of producers and story coaches to help bring these stories to life. And so if you're skilled in those areas, shoot us an email at talktous@youhadmeatblack.com. And of course, look out for us in 2018 as we kick off our official city tour. We are coming to multiple cities in 2018, bigger and better than ever. So stay on the lookout for our calendar, where you can buy tickets, and how you can volunteer. Alrighty, Miles, take it away.
You Have Me at Black is produced by Brittany Abrahams, Adiza Egan, Jody Williams, Jared Sport, and Afiello Duke. Charlie Corpening and Dion Henderson make the beats. I, Miles Dotson, make us sound good. And Martina Abrams, Tashana Stewart, and Andrea Barrow do everything else. See you next year. Have a happy new year as well. Peace.
This is season 4 of You Had Me at Black.